Brother Brad.
Thank you.
I'm going to start with the good news. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Take a look. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and heal their land. That's good news. But it does tell me we've got some work to do. If you just raise your hand, what I usually do is I'll try to repeat the question over the microphone so that everybody can hear it. Floor is yours. Questions, comments, if you need to just vent your spleen after hearing some of that. Yes, sir.
I know it says we have to continue like what I call tenets. I know we've got the tenets of evolution, one of the sexuality. All of these have a common source. Does the word atheism describe the source of it and everything else falls in line with that?
Absolutely. Yep. He said, does, you know, we've got evolution out there. We've got homosexuality. We could throw in a couple of other isms, things like humanism. At the crux of all of it is folks who have either stiffened their neck, rebelled against God, or basically are skeptical, saying, hey, we don't believe there's a God out there. The thing that everybody in this room better wake up and be aware of is those are the people who we're sending our kids off to college to teach our kids. The highest percentage of atheism in the world is at American universities. I can back that up. Think about that. We're actually paying men to undo the faith of our kids. Good question. Yes, sir.
You're talking about House Bill 1390.
Yes.
Has any preacher been held accountable to that law yet?
Overseas, absolutely. In the state of Pennsylvania, it is already a hate speech crime. Preachers are taking out liability insurance. I've got a lesson that I do on that topic. Coming at it from kind of a, you know, is there a gay gene? Is this a choice or not? And that's a lesson that if I go up to Pennsylvania and I teach it, and the wrong person is in the audience, I can pretty quickly be thrown into jail. Good question. Other comments? Yes, sir. That I don't know for sure. My understanding, let me back up and say this. My understanding is he may have been a pretty good guy, but his advisors were not all that good in that they filled his head with some things that probably should not have been filled with, including the idea that, hey, we've got to go along with these other nations, get rid of this idea about God and man being created, and we've got to go with evolution. And like so many other leaders before him and after him, he listened wrongly, and here we are. Yes?
On that note, how do we make sense of individuals like William Lane Craig, who believes in evolution, but still a world-leading apologist?
Got a lot of people who are what we call theistic evolutionists. By that, I mean, these are folks who say, yeah, there's a God. Absolutely, there's a God. You couldn't have gotten this earth without a God. But he created it and then kind of stepped back and has allowed everything to just kind of continue to the point that it's at today. And what they're doing is they're marrying evolution and creation together. We're going to talk quite a bit right off the bat tomorrow evening about why those two don't marry together. I know Craig. I know some of the folks he runs with. He's got a lot of intelligence, but he's coming up short. A couple of email exchanges I've had with folks like him, and I'm not going to mention names because some of you may have heard some of these speakers, but I will ask them, I'll say, how do you harmonize what you're saying with, for instance, Mark chapter 10, verse 6. Mark chapter 10, verse 6, Jesus Christ speaking, saying, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Okay, so Jesus is saying, man was here from the beginning of creation, They're saying the earth is 4.6 billion years old and that man's only been here for a few million years. You know, when you really look at it, so many differences. Evolution says we had matter, rocks first, explosion, and then all of a sudden we get water. Okay, where'd the water come from? Because in order to have water, you got to have a water cycle. The Bible says there was water first and then land. Those two are not at all compatible. I mean, how do you accept the Big Bang idea without rejecting what this book is saying? You ask somebody that is a theistic evolutionist the ultimate question, where did everything come from? They'll say God. Atheists, do you know what they'll say? Came from nothing. I've actually sat at a coffee table with an atheist one time. I said, please help me understand where everything came from. He looked at me and said, clear your mind of everything. I said, okay. He said, that's what was here. That's what was here before the Big Bang. I said, okay. Then help me understand what exploded. He said, well, Brad, then nothing exploded. And he was serious. I said, okay, let me back up. You expect me to believe there was nothing, absolutely nothing, and one day, just out of the blue, on one particular day, the nothing decided to blow up, and we get all of this. He said, uh-huh. I looked at him, I said, buddy, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Because that takes more faith than believing in God. Good question. We'll address that more. You going to be here tomorrow? I'll address that some more tomorrow. Other comments, questions, thoughts? Yes, ma'am. It's getting younger. There are a couple, I can give you, like I can put up some examples right now, just, you know, random examples. Are you going to be here tomorrow? Okay, what I'll do is I'll give you a list, but I'll throw up just some examples for fun right now just to, while I'm doing that, other questions, other comments. You guys don't know, if you don't ask me questions, I get to ask you questions. What kind of changes have you seen, especially any of you guys who are teachers, who are in the education system, what changes have you seen in your lifetime?
The biggest misnomer is the separation of church and state. Of course, Jefferson, they always throw him out, but that's not in the Constitution. But I think people are beginning to learn that, you know?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. They twisted separation of church and state horribly. I'll just throw these up there. I'll kind of go through. Have we seen a change in discipline in the school system? Or have we seen a change in respect? Or have we seen a change in work ethic? Yeah. But again, a lot of that is coming out of the home. You know, when I was a kid, if you got in trouble at school, you got in trouble at home. Today, you get in trouble at school, you know what the mom's going to do? She's going to march up to the school and say, why did you mess with my child? It used to be we would back those who were in authority. Policemen, firemen, school teachers, etc. Today, that's not the case. Other comments?
I would say to that, if a child has made an error, I'm fully agreed with that. But as a parent myself, I don't make a decision for or against the child until
I realize it's not something like what you've been talking about tonight. Because as a parent anymore, you don't know what they're being taught.
That's right.
And you don't know who is in control of their mind.
Yep.
And if they have got in trouble with their standing for the right.
Right, absolutely.
It used to never be a problem, but today it is.
Yep.
And, you know, I for sure don't want to take the teacher's side in that, and I will not.
Yeah. It is a very different environment. And it's some days I find it a little bit frustrating in trying to communicate it, because as I'm looking out at you, I'm going to say the mean average age in this room, 59. How about that? What we do as older adults is we look back at our experience and we think, it wasn't that bad. And maybe even some of you who are in your 60s, 70s, you look back at your kids coming through thinking, it wasn't that bad. Folks, in the last 10 to 12 years, it has gotten exponentially worse. To the point that I struggle trying to communicate just how bad the material is. Even the way we're teaching today has kind of gone off the rails. It used to be we would teach, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, math, etc. It's gotten to where we have to throw in our Mother Earth recycling quota. We have to teach for the test because we're now No Child Left Behind standardized testing. And it's bad. I mean, the whole environment is really festering in America right now. Absolutely it is. Yeah. And it's one of the worst things we've ever done.
You walk into my classroom with a Bible, I'm not going to let you read that Bible, and so is my principal.
That's good.
Those two books you put up there, I guarantee you, they are not in my library.
Good.
It is the home. It is the government. It is not all the public schools.
No, I agree with you. No Child Left Behind is most definitely the government.
And it's the majority of it is the
But wouldn't you say that that program has messed up the way we teach?
Absolutely.
Because what is happening
is not my fault, it's the government
right.
That has messed it up.
And correct me if I'm wrong, teachers like her are getting assessed by how their classes do on these tests.
Absolutely.
And so what happens is we get through, say, till about February or March, and we're teaching, all of a sudden we look up, and, okay, tests are coming, so we chuck whatever else we had left in the book and we're teaching for the test because they're going to be taking a test in a couple of weeks. And we got to have them do well or else that reflects poorly on me as a teacher and on the school, and it also goes back to some of this. That's not how we need to be. Besides the fact that it's trying to get everybody to a certain level. And anybody that has more than two kids at home, you know, kids learn differently, and they are at different levels. I'm thankful for Christian educators, very much so. How long have you been in, just curiously? I didn't mean that. How old are you? Okay, so what would you say is the biggest changes you've seen as far as the kids? Wow. And it's probably abnormal to have a mom and dad with a kid that is respectful and disciplined and sitting listening.
And yet we have in my I've been working in Utah, but in my state, in my school, I have 22 children. 11 of them are English language learners. Half of my class is English language learners. Most of those are from Burma because they came here because of the conditions in their government. They're refugees that have come here to get a better life and to be able to worship as they want to without getting killed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you. The public school education has gone down. But I, know?
Yeah.
The home. Is that a good brother?
Absolutely,
the
it does.
The head, the boy, the head.
Absolutely.
There's a. Growing more and getting more,
if you guys have never looked up the word statism, S-T-A-T-I-S-M, look it up. Statism is the idea that the state is the center of the hub for everything. And what it's telling young, unwed mothers is, hey, you can rely on us for food, for lodging, for transportation, for cell phone, and we won't leave dirty clothes on the floor. We'll send our check on time every single month. You don't have to worry about us snoring. We'll give it to you every single month. And what it's doing is it is wrecking the family unit as God intended it. And we've forgotten in this country that who instituted marriage? God did. And we're treating it like it's, you know, disposable, no big deal. And we're reaping the benefit, the consequences of it. Other comments? Yes, sir. Do I have evidence of atheists? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I do. Yeah, they have summer camps now. We can go to screenshots that I've taken from atheist organizations. He asked the question, "Do we have evidence of atheist organizations?" And the answer is overwhelmingly yes. In fact, probably, if not every college, I would say at least 75% to 80% of every university, state school, has an atheist organization associated with it. They are actively recruiting our kids. That's, I can prove that without any problem. Yeah. Yeah, I was over in London in August and September, and they have it's kind of like a game for their atheists. They like to go and identify old church buildings, because religion in England has just gone down the tubes. They'll get old church buildings and they'll turn them into pubs, kind of as a, you know, in your face type of deal. But yeah, one or two more and then I'll let you guys go home. Oh, y'all gonna get quiet on me now. All right. Ooh. Oh. Her question is, what am I more concerned about, atheism or Islam in the United States? I'm going to lean towards what this lady up front kind of hinted at, and that is the downfall of the home is probably, to me, up here. Right under the downfall of the home, though, I would put Islam. Downfall of the home is affecting the community and the culture in ways that are rippling out that are going to be long, long lasting. Islam is here. It's getting worse. You guys think, okay, we're insulated. It's not that big a deal. Again, you asked about the question about atheism. Are there atheist groups out there? Guess what is being built in almost every college town? Mosque. Guess what's in Bowling Green? Mosque. Guess what's in Murfreesboro, Tennessee? Mosque. Why? Because usually about age 18, 19, 20, 21, kids are starting to put their own religious beliefs down. And so they're reaching out and trying to kind of evangelize them at that stage. On Sunday, Lord willing, about 2:30, is that right? 2:30. We're actually going to look at Islam. I realize some of you are visiting. If you can be back Sunday at 2:30, it would be hopefully valuable to you. What we're going to do is look at what's going on. What do Christians need to know? Is it really just a peaceful religion? How do they treat women? What do they really believe? I know some of you do attend other places, but since I don't know where you're supposed to be on Sunday, you just plan on being right here, you know? That's not sheep stealing if you don't know where the sheep are supposed to be. So. Appreciate very, very much your attention tonight. I do hope that everyone will have safe travels back home. I would love for you to do two things for me. Number one, I hope you plan on being back tomorrow evening. We're going to look at the evidence. What does the evidence really show and support evolution, or does it support creation? What do we know about geology? What do we know about the ice age? Those kinds of things. Second thing I want you to do is, if you have time in the next 24 hours, text, email, Facebook, call somebody, invite them to be with you. Thank you very much for your attention tonight.